Well, good morning and welcome to Village Green Community Church on this Good Friday. I'm joined here this morning by Matthew Burkholder, who's our worship coordinator. And together we're going to talk about a really important topic. Obviously, Good Friday is a day where we remember Jesus' death on a cross, on a cruel Roman cross. And as we enter into the message this morning, and as Matthew and I are going to kind of team up and look at some important truths that come out of the passage that we read. I just want to invite you to listen as I read this passage and then, you know, take to heart some of the incredible truths that come out of this passage that we can learn for ourselves today. I'm looking at Luke 23, reading verses 32 to 38. And Luke records this. Two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with Jesus. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross. And the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. The crowd watched and the leaders scoffed. "He saved others," they said. "Let him save himself if he is really God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." A sign was fastened above him with these words, "This is the King of the Jews." Now, that's a pretty powerful passage. You know, just this week, I was reading a number of things, and I was reminded of a really stark truth, is that historically, we have no record of anybody ever surviving a Roman crucifixion, ever. Mm. No one in history has ever done this. So this by all accounts, was, you know, the end of Jesus for many people. Witnessing this horrific scene of this individual that had really blessed and touched and changed so many people's lives. And yet here he is in the worst possible moment and yet talking about forgiveness. It's pretty powerful. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sort of the last thing you'd expect for the end of Jesus's life. Yeah. as he's doing these miraculous things, he's healing people, he's helping people, he's encouraging people. You don't expect him to be on a cross being crucified with criminals. That's the last place you'd expect him to end up.
That's, yeah, absolutely. And I'm intrigued by a word that Luke uses about the religious leaders, and it really caught me because you know, if you look at the wisdom literature, you know, one of the worst things, I think in the wisdom literature, the worst label you can put on a person is the word scoffer. Mm. A scoffer is even worse than an unbeliever in the wisdom literature. Mm. And here we have the religious leaders who are scoffing at Jesus. And to scoff in the Old Testament, in the wisdom books, is not just to scoff at God, but to scoff at anyone that has anything to do with God or anything to do with righteousness or holiness, and to just to ridicule them and be purposely antagonistic towards it. Now think about that. We have religious leaders who are supposed to be models of society, models of God's, you know, right living, and here they are, a perfect human being who did no wrong to anybody else, who is absolutely being ridiculed. And, you know, that's on top of everything he's already suffered. Mm-hmm. You know, they've scourged him. The soldiers have spat on him. He had to carry his cross to this place called the Skull, Golgotha. And yet on top of it, they're hurling insults at him. It's a very ugly picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard it put in many different ways. The one that always strikes me is, you know, the one who gave these people breath are using that breath to insult their creator, the one who loves them immensely. And there's an incredible, just as if, you know, Christ, we don't expect him to end up on the cross. You know, there's that reversal, right? The people who should have seen who he was and understood who he was and what he was doing didn't. And it was the outcasts and the sinners who were able to come into the kingdom with Christ. And there's a lot of interesting things happening in the story. So
Well, you know, and as a way of encouragement too, this is the very worst that you could possibly do to another human being. Mm-hmm. And this is happening to Jesus. And, you know, in our humanity, if this was happening to us, we'd probably be, you know, retaliating, mm-hmm. screaming back and, mm-hmm. you know, saying how wrong, what an injustice this is. All of those, you know, things that make us realize that it's indefensible what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And yet Jesus in that moment prays forgiveness over everyone. Mm-hmm. And that just, you know, in the very worst, you know, situations we find ourselves in, to know that forgiveness is always readily available. Mm-hmm. Because that's what God, you know, yearns to do for us, is to forgive us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's two incredible, I think, two overarching truths that come out of this particular passage. Number one, that it demonstrates the incredible love that God has for us. Mm-hmm. A love that, you know, I think, you know, the longer I'm on this earth, the more difficult it is for me to fully encapsulate mm-hmm. that love. And that grace. I'm doing a lot of talking.
It really is just an incredible picture of who God is and what, you know, what God wants to do for us. It's interesting because oftentimes the Christian faith gets mocked because we preach a radical form of grace and forgiveness. Yeah. And I've heard so many times people make fun of Christianity because, oh, you know, you can live this horrible life, you can do these horrible things, then you can turn to God and he will forgive you. And I just say, yes.
Yeah.
A repentant heart, a person who is wanting to repent and turn to God, there is nothing. I mean, the people who are literally killing God on a cross are able to be forgiven by God. And so it is encouraging, and it should humble us and should motivate us to really to cherish that forgiveness and to live a life that is pleasing to God and in service to him for what he's done.
It is in fact amazing grace. You just mm-hmm. you know, grace has such, you know, powerful components, you know, for us in our own lives. And you know, on the one hand, we have this incredible demonstration of God's love at the worst possible moment. But at the same time, we're getting, you know, the reality of sin mm-hmm. and the necessity of the cross at the same time. We are witnessing the very worst of humanity mm-hmm. doing something to the very best of God. What a striking contrast. And, you know, there's lots of people that, you know, I'm a good person. There's no need for God in my life. There's, I can fix myself, or, you know, I don't need to be forgiven. I don't need to be healed. You know, my life's fine. I've been a good person all my life. And you know, unfortunately, here's a clear demonstration of just how sinful we can be. Even in the very best of circumstances, with the very best that God had to offer us. And yet, they're brutalizing him on a cross, and he's saying forgiveness. So that's what I think is the really powerful contrast in this, mm-hmm. you know, the deep, deep love of God, you know, to sacrifice himself in this particular way, at the same time witnessing the very worst that we are as human beings. And that comes so clearly at the cross, mm-hmm. and so magnificently, that, you know, I think the obvious response is, when you really become clear-headed about what those two contrasts are being, you know, evoked in this passage, mm-hmm. what else could you do but humble yourself and thank God, mm-hmm. and repent and ask for forgiveness? You know, because it just exposes the dark heart mm-hmm. that, you know, we are capable of having.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it truly is remarkable. Whenever I read the Father forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. You know, yeah. he's even pleading and hoping for their forgiveness, even in their ignorance. You know, even in their inability to truly appreciate the magnitude of the crime that is happening. And like you said, it really is a convergence of really human sin, human fallenness, and the love of God. It kind of shapes, you know, we talk about the cruciform nature of God, and the cruciform nature of God's salvation history, the way he acts in the world. And it really does shape how we understand God, and it should shape how we understand us. And it's not that we're this horrible people that Christ is reluctantly sacrificing his life for. We are people that God loves profoundly, and Christ is willing to go to this length to show that and to offer that to his creation. And we are torn in many different ways when we come to the cross, but I think if we focus on God's love at the cross and the sinfulness, that, you know, that worship song, you know, it was my sin that held him there.
Held him there,
and,
yeah.
And he's doing this for us, you know, throughout scripture we read, for us, you know, for us. And because as they mocked him, you know, say you could save yourself. He could. You know, this is the man who calmed the storms and cast out demons, and he could have, but he was freely there doing this for us. And if I need to really think about God, who he is, I turn to the cross time and time again, and I'm comforted.
Well, you know, you just hit on another element of this that I've always found very profound, is that as the king, as God incarnate, that could have easily come off the cross and everything, willing to sacrifice for me. You know, how many kings, how many politicians, how many, you know, leaders or other religious leaders were willing, you know, because I would argue anyone other than Jesus would have said, okay, I'm done. This is enough. I'm mm-hmm. taking care of myself, mm-hmm. you know, but we worship a God who is willing to die for us, and not just a comfortable death, but a gruesome death, you know, and in that suffering, in that unconditional love, and in that, you know, beautiful picture of what he was willing to do for us, the cross holds up, you know, all these centuries about the incredible, you know, unbounding love that God has. Mm-hmm. And that I think that puts a lot of value in us as human beings. You know, mm-hmm. we can talk about, you know, the dark side of us. We can talk about the sinful mm-hmm. side and all that kind of stuff. But there wasn't a single Pharisee or religious leader on that particular day that was spitting on Jesus as he's on the cross, that if they had have just said, what am I doing? I'm sorry, I repent of this, mm-hmm. that Jesus wouldn't have said, you know, like he said to the thief, mm-hmm. that today you'll be with me in paradise. Mm-hmm. That's such a beautiful, it's only a few verses, mm-hmm. but it's such a beautiful picture. And, you know, if you're watching this, and as Matthew and I have talked about this passage, just know that The cross is a beautiful picture of forgiveness. I don't know what you're going through in your life. I don't know what struggles you're having, what doubts you're having. But Jesus can forgive you if you just come to him in humble obedience and ask him to, you know, come into your life and to become, you know, king of your heart and live your life for Jesus. You can be forgiven. And it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't, it's a great picture of the severity of what these people are doing. Mm-hmm. And yet forgiveness is the word that sort of resonates, you know, from the cross to everyone there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's at the heart of God, right?
Yeah.
It's the heart of who God is. And,
yeah.
You know, he wanted to demonstrate that to us and show us in a very, very profound way. And there's nothing quite as profound, you know, like I said, gods aren't supposed to die.
No.
On the cross. And they're not, if they do die, they're not supposed to die in the way that our Lord Savior died. Right. And,
they're not supposed to bleed or
right.
get broken
right.
or
yeah.
any of those things, mm-hmm. you know? I remember hearing a long time ago, we are most like God when we forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always kind of bounced around in my head because we know how difficult forgiveness can be.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lot of emotional stuff tied to it.
Mm-hmm.
But here we see a beautiful picture of the power of forgiveness
mm-hmm.
and what it means, you know, some more than 2,000 years later, that, you know, so many are watching online, you know, all around the world, people are celebrating Good Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the word, that's the heart of what we're seeing. Very dark day, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Very dark day. But from the mouth of Jesus comes everything that we're not expecting and not hearing. You know, that kind of allows us to move into communion, okay? Because this is a remembrance, a memorial, a time where we look on these significant events, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus, who throughout his ministry, you know, kept telling the disciples, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die,
mm-hmm.
you know, and even communicated, you know, the implications of the cross, and he would suffer. It wouldn't be just a comfortable death. And, you know, that all came as a prophetic word in the upper room with the disciples when they were having the Passover meal.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're joining us this morning and you have the communion elements ready, I ask you to take the bread or wafer or what cracker, whatever you have this morning, and to remind you that Jesus with his disciples, you know, took the bread, broke the bread, and said that this is my body, which is broken. And those two powerful words, okay? He didn't say this is broken, you know, this is my body is going to be broken because I'm going to get in an accident or I'm going to, you know, fall or I'm going to, you know, I'm, you know, my body will be broken for you. You know, the picture of the suffering servant out of Isaiah 53. And I'm sure the disciples in celebrating the Passover, which is a passage about incredible victory that God had enacted in the Exodus with the people of Israel. And yet here is Jesus reframing the entire meal to celebrate his death and remember his death. And by first of all, reminding us of his broken body. So if you take what you have prepared today and eat this with me, do this in remembrance of Jesus.
And also in that upper room, we read that in the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." It's a powerful moment in the life of the disciples. And it's always should be a powerful moment in the life of God's people as we celebrate the Lord's death until he comes. And when we do this, we aren't just doing something individually, but we're doing something that we are trying to proclaim to a community, to the world, that that this is who God is. You know, Paul says that I want to preach Christ crucified. That this is the proclamation of God's love, God's forgiveness. And you know, I talk about our mission statement all the time, but it really is just so it just includes so much of the important elements of the gospel that, you know, we love God, we love others, and we change the world. And the death of Christ was the moment in which the world was changed.
Yeah.
And yeah. We get to celebrate that, be reminded of that every time we do this together as a community. And we also are able to share wonderful good news of God's love in Jesus Christ. So let us take this in remembrance of Jesus.
Well, thank you, Matthew. Great to, you know, share this time together. I hope this has been meaningful for you. I hope you've learned something about the incredible love of God, about, you know, the natural condition that we find ourselves in. I pray that this has helped you to come even closer to your understanding of God and the incredible sacrifice that Jesus made for you. We would love to hear, you know, if you're considering, you know, faith in Christ, why not open up your heart today and on this day where we've talked about the incredible love of God through Christ and, you know, the ugliness, the potential ugliness that we all have in us, and how this passage really demonstrates the need to be forgiven, and yet the openness and the willingness of Christ to forgive us when we ask for it. So if you've asked for that forgiveness today, we just thank you for being a part of this service. We pray that you've been blessed today. We pray that on this Good Friday, that you take time to remember the incredible sacrifice made for you, and that you would indeed bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ for all that he's done for you. God bless you, and see you on Sunday. God bless.